Or at the church, sometimes the church is called Zion. The type of the church is a bride. The church is called the virgin. The church is called mother. These are all the type for the church. Isn't that right? Shake your head. Okay. It's called Jerusalem. It's a type for the church. Jacob is a type for the people of God. Israel is a type for the people of God. Judah is a type for the people of God. The General Assembly, which we just saw. The city. Of course, that's talking the city, Jerusalem. The fortified city, or tower and palace. Now, let me tell you something. A fortified city, or tower, is a place. Let me give you an example of that today. That's people who are in Babylon will go and walk in to a building, and they'll find security in this building once they walk in. And this building is very reverent. You know right here is a temple, don't you? And the building's just wooden stone. But when they walk in that thing, their heart goes and trusts buildings. Their heart trusts theology and different things like that. But they're deceived. They don't know the Lord. And in this building right there, this what he's called, you know, the building's not the church. Amen. The building's the meeting house. The church goes there, right? But see, in their heart, this has been perverted and made to be the church. And then their hearts, this building, this situation is going to be the vehicle that delivers them into heaven. They're deceiving their heart. Because people who are deceiving the heart, that is the doctrines of demons, to get your heart to trust something besides the Lord Jesus Christ. You can trust men, your heart can trust men. Buildings, theology, intellect, denomination, masonry, a lot of things, okay? And that is the doctrine of demons. And so let's just continue right here. There are different types for the church, and yeah, you already know these things, but I'm just going to just run them by. Egypt is a type of the world, isn't that right? Assyria is a type of the world. Sometimes the world is just called nations, right? All right, there are different kind of lands. There's a world land, there's a church land, and here's a land. You see this? This is God's field, you know, in 1 Corinthians 3:9. This is the land, folks, you possess. This is the land you possess. That's where the Canaanites are. Amen? Canaanites are right there on that land. You get them off with a sword. You possess the land. Okay. You cross the Jordan and get them. Amen? Okay. Now, there are different types for the demons. We found out there is a devil, right? All right. Sometimes they're called the adversary. Sometimes the type, when you see, they're called the serpents. Sometimes they're called lions or young lions. Sometimes a thief, or just the wolves, that's a type for them. Wild beast, beast of the field, scorpion, lions, they sometimes strangers, birds of the sky, beasts of the field. See, not every time birds of the sky or beasts of the field does that mean in any of these things, and by no means is this totally complete. Amen? What I'm saying right here. Now, another thing I want you to know, the Holy Ghost is a fire, and the spirit of the devil is a fire. They're both a fire. You have to see how the scripture's used, you won't have any problem with that. All right? Now, when you see these words, I wouldn't care if you watched the right teeth now. When you see these words manifested, when you see these words used, I want you to know in most cases there are manifestations. If you examine your scripture, you'll just start seeing the powers of darkness, how the Lord's talking about the powers of darkness. When you see, first start with the word flood, which you're familiar with, and I don't have to go back and explain that to you. You already see the flood, right? You see the flood, which is flood of words, and sometimes many waters, waves, and so forth like that. Waters and waves, the roar, uproar. What roars? A lion's, then the uproar. When you see these words, and I'll be showing you as we go along, I wish we had about another half a day, but it's going to be all right to just stay here till 9 or 10. But I already showed you distress. You know, I kind of pointed out some things. Distress, when you see the word distress. Now, see, you're not going to get mad at me when I start down here, are you? If I say some things are in there, I told you I'm going to call it what it is, and you receive it when you see it in words. Is that what we agreed with? Now, you can't be mad. Amen? Now, be sweet. Okay. When you see the word tariff. Now, one of the terrorist ones. Now, one of the biggest words that's used for the powers of darkness is a word, violence. You know how they do violence to the law or violence? That means pervert the word of God. Or you employ violence. In other words, instead of employing the spirit of God, you employ the spirit of the devil. You employ violence. That's what he's talking about. You bring the powers of darkness in and let them come in and pervert the word. Calamity is another word. Now, I never did. I need to just turn quickly. Turn back to Luke. Turn back to Luke 8 with me. And I never did get to this. You know, we looked at parable of the word in Mark 4. We looked at it in Matthew 13. But I never did look at it in Luke 8. And I just want to quickly just show you, give you an example. Let's just start with the birds of the sky. And I want to give you a little example, and then I want to just get on in this thing. Okay? Now, Luke 8. Right now, first he's spoken a mystery, and then he took disciples and told them what he's talking about. Is that right? Okay. Now, in verse 5, he's talking in a mystery. Luke 8, verse 5. The sower went out to sow his seed, which is the word of God. He sowed it some, fell beside the road. It was trampled. The word is trampled underfoot. See there? They're trampling the word. Just up. Now, we're going to watch a word trampled underfoot directly. It's trampled underfoot, and who came and ate it up? The birds of the air. Now, we're going to look, I think it's over in 12, and we'll get to see who these birds of the air and what this seed is that come and eat. What it is that the birds of the air is after. And we see over in verse 12, those beside the roads who have heard, then who comes? The devil comes, and he takes away the word. Now, see, that's a seed, and so we know that the birds, what is a type of, the birds of the sky is the devil right here. Is that correct? So there's a pretty fair example, and it's all over your Bible. But not in every case. Now, folks, I'm telling you why. You have to be careful that you don't read something into the Word that's not in the Word. Don't never say anything about the Word of God that everybody can't see it. You know what? Because I'll tell you what I've learned. You can start, if you don't truly see it all and you start reading something in it, then you can have 50 things there that you have people with you, and then when you get to the one thing where they can't see it, and brother, it'll hurt you on the other, and you can just sin about that. If God hadn't showed you something, don't share it. We don't have anything to prove. We just say what God said. He proves it. Amen? Okay. Now, I want you to remember what I'm telling you. Okay. So we see the birds of the sky right here, and that we see the birds of the sky want to come and take the word from you. Is that right? Now, if that word's not working in you, you can't be fruitful. And if you don't take fruitful, you're not overcoming the powers of darkness. You're no threat to them. They get their seed from you, and the seed don't grow, and you're not going to have authority. You can't have any power over them. Is that right? And we know how's the war. How do they come? They bring affliction. They bring persecution. A lot of people saying a lot of things. Then you get your mind on what they say, and then you first thing you know, the word hadn't replaced. You got to please folks. See it? They steal the word from you, and they do it with the worries of life. Get your mind full of that. The deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things. And you know, when you've got those things on your heart, the word's gone. They've got it. They replace the word with something else. That's how they get the word. Now, I already explained to you that that Paul fought the wild beast at Ephesus, didn't he? And we know he wasn't fighting foxes. We know this was a type of something. This is a type for the powers of darkness that he was battling with there. And I think I might have mentioned to you that in Mark 1:13, that Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. He was being tempted with Satan, and he was with the wild animals. That just got thrown out. The beasts are still there, just like the beast of the field was with Satan when he was tempting the first Adam. They're with him when he's tempting the last Adam. Are you seeing that? You know, we saw that in Genesis 3, didn't we? That the beast of the field was with Satan. Now, he's more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field, which he is. And so now I think I should give you an example of how a city would be a church situation, a congregation, a God and a people of God. And then I want you to see what the beasts are doing. You know, Babylon was a dwelling place of demons. Babylon's, this word tells you in symbolism here and type that about this Babylon. And we learn a lot of things over here in the Old Covenant. Then we come over and see how it's applied in the New Testament. Amen. Okay, now if you'll turn to Zephaniah, he's probably reading there yesterday, and Zephaniah, it's right before Matthew. Hurry. Can you hurry? It's about four. The Z's are together. Oh, Zechariah and Zephaniah. And about four books before Matthew. All right. It's on page 1350. If you have a giant print Bible. You can visit a little bit when you turn to Zephaniah. Good to be free. The mission is over. Now let's look in verse 15. 2:15. Zephaniah 2:15. All right, now what does exalted mean? That means lifted up, doesn't it? Huh? Shake your head. Are you through visiting? You hadn't found Zephaniah? How you liking your Bible drill? Zephaniah, verse 2:15. This is the exalted what? Which is a type of what? A congregation of God, or, you know, be like the church. This exalted city, which dwells what? Oh, they just dwell so securely. Who says what? In the heart. That's how I love old Babylon over there. I'm the queen. I can't be a widow. I'm no widow. I'm Jesus' king. I'm queen. Right? Oh, that kind of reminds me of what Satan's saying over in some things in his heart. Over in Isaiah 14, he says in his heart, you've been cast down because you said in your heart, I will. Right? All right, so you see Satan, you see who's talking to this city right here, this church. Who dwells, they dwell securely because they have said in their heart, I am. There's no one besides me. In other words, you got to come over where I am if you're going to get what I am. My ticket's already punched. I'm rich. I'm increased in goods. And now she has become a what? Is there going to be abomination? Look at me. Is there going to be abomination in the last days that comes into the holy place to make desolate? And it makes desolate no word, no water, no fruit. There they are. She is a resting peace for who? That's just exactly what you see. That's the whore harlot church, what you did, exactly what you read in Revelation 18 yesterday. Everyone who passes fire will hiss and wave his hands in contempt. You see a little of that? Go try to witness somebody got a Budweiser in their hand and say, you saved? Sure, I'm saved. He's been watching television. He's got some head. Sure, I know Jesus. All right, chapter 3. Here's your problem. Woe to her. She is what? Rebellious to the word of God. We saw what that gets you when you was over in Psalms 107. And she is defiled. Defiled. You defile the holy temple, right? What did Jesus do? What was the type of Jesus? He went and he drove the thieves out of the temple, right? Amen. All right, now. Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled. The tyrannical city. Now here's her problem. Here's why she's exalted and she's secure in her heart and she's like the devil and she's a resting place for demons. Here's her problem. She heeds no voice. She doesn't heed the word of God. She accepts no instruction. She is rebellious. She won't obey the word of God. She does not trust in the world. Probably goes to the world to get everything she needs. That's Babylon. And she does not draw near to her God. She won't praise the God. Now here in verse 3, her leaders, her princes within her are what? They're just exactly like the demons. The demons are running the people, so they run the church. That's kind of like the Gentiles have got it. All right, now, her judges are wolves. Now see, are you seeing the beast? There's your roaring lion. There's your wolves. The judges are wolves at evening. They leave nothing for the morning. Her prophet, preachers are reckless, treacherous men. Her pastors, preachers have profaned the sanctuary. They've done what? Violence to what? The word, the law of the word. They have, in other words, it's been perverted. And now, I'm not going to turn back to Deuteronomy 28 to go through the blessings and the curses, and I think you pretty well understand that. You have the blessings and the hedge and have God working with you, and whatever you ask, He'll give to you when you're bearing fruit and walking in covenant. Isn't that right? Then we see when you start living after this part that you have the wrong motives, and He doesn't answer your prayers. Is that correct? We saw in James 4. Now, let's go to, let's begin, and now look at me here just a bit. I'm going to start down here, and this is going to smack against your box, your petitions, when I first start. Now, are you ready for it? You got to stand against it. Because if you get up here, you can't start up here and come down. You got to start down here and go up. Okay? All right? Not going to be mad. You love me? Okay. All right. If you have your Bibles, Acts 13. And we're going to start tying some of these loose ends together, all right? It's good to tie loose ends together, isn't it? Praise you, Lord Jesus, for your grace, liberty, freedom, revelation, understanding, and your word. Praise the Lord. Now, do you believe when God says take heed, do you think it might be good to take heed? Amen. All right, He said it here. Verse 40. And if God says take heed, He's got a reason to say take heed, right? Okay, take heed. Will you please do something with take heed? God wants you to take heed. I'm ready to take heed now. I believe a lot of people are ready to take heed, aren't you? Okay. How's your fear of God? You coming on all right? All right. Take heed. Therefore, so that the what? I can't hear you again. Thing, the circle thing. There's that thing again. The thing spoken of the prophets may not what? Oh, that thing's going to come on. So we're going to have to take heed so that the thing don't get on us, right? You want me to tell you what that thing is? Are you ready? Here it comes. Bill. That's them. Okay. Behold, you scoffers! Woo! That's mockers. Look here. They're right there. That's carton talk. Scoffers are cart. That's hard. A scoffer. You know, they'll follow their own ungodly lust, and they scoff against. Now, I want to show you about a scoffer. Are you ready? Hope you can take this. If there's a scoffer in here, you're going to get mad. Okay. Behold, you scoffers. And marvel and what? Might draw you a little line around scoffers. Draw you a little line around perish and kind of connect them together a little bit right there. Scoffers, perish. He says, for I'm accomplishing a work in whose days? Oh, your days, Mr. Scoffer. A work. So he marked that work. Which you're going to never believe, Mr. Scoffer. Mr. Scoffer, you can't see it. Mr. Scoffer, as a matter of fact, you have a problem with being wise and intelligent. And you're not going to see it, Mr. Scoffer. It's a work which you're going to never believe. You're going to never believe it, though someone should describe it to you. That sounds like Luke 10, doesn't it? Huh? You'll never see that thing, Mr. Scoffer. Though someone describes it to you. Because it comes by revelation. You better open up your heart. You better get ready. If you're a scoffer, so you can see this. Scoffers don't see this. Repent. Here it comes. Now, this thing is the same thing that the baby disciples saw when they dealt with the powers of darkness. And now, this was taken right here. Habakkuk 1, and if you will, please turn with me now back to Habakkuk 1. That's back there near the Z's before Matthew back there, close by. I think it's close to Nahum, and you can find it easy now. Right before Zephaniah. Right after Nahum. Okay. Now everybody has it. Almost. I'll tell you what, you're going to like the minor prophets after this seminar today. They've just been waiting there all the time for someone to read them. Now, boy, this would make a good church. I bet you're good tithers. You got a lot of money? You got Jesus at you, brother.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, what did we just read over in Acts 13? And this was taken out of Habakkuk, that he said, he warned you, you take heed. You take heed to me that this thing doesn't come upon you, but scoffers are going to perish, and they're not going to hear it or see it. They're not going to believe it if you even describe it to them. Now, let me ask you something. Let me just share something with you right here. Who was it that Babylon used to bring against the people of God over and over and over again? Chaldeans, wasn't it? Isn't that right? The Chaldeans. And they were the people that come to, when Israel was disobedient, what did the Lord do? He turned the Chaldeans from Babylon upon the people of God because they wouldn't walk in covenant. Is that right? Well, isn't that kind of true about the Canaanite nations and so forth like that? He would just let the Philistines come and just beat them up all the pieces and so forth like that. They were on the land because when they wouldn't walk in the covenant of God, right? Now, may I go ahead and tell you again that the Canaanite nations are the people on the land. I want you to know them and the Chaldeans is a type of the instruments that God used. They're a type of the enemy that comes against you today, the powers of darkness. Now, let me just tell you, I don't believe any Chaldeans are going to get you today. But you're fixing to read about it. It got over in Acts 13 some way or another. But those Chaldeans are a type of something. Now you're going to see them. And if this is from God, it's going to jump all over you like it does at me and everybody else. All right, here you go. Here they are. Verse 2, Habakkuk 1. How long, O Lord, will I call for help? Glory. And thou wilt not hear. I cry out to thee. What's his problem right there? Violence. All right. He's crying out. He needs help from who? The powers of darkness. Now, this is what this is a type of, okay? Here you go. Thou dost not save. Why dost thou make me see iniquity? And just seeing sin. Why and cause me to look on wickedness? Now, look here. Here it is. Yes, destruction. And here it is. Violence are before me. Now, watch this. Strife exists. Boy, isn't that a familiar song? Contention arises. See, that's why he's saying that. Where do you think all that comes from? Them? Okay, we're going to see them in a minute. Strife and contention arises. Therefore, when there's strife and contention there, the word of God is what? It's ignored. And justice is never upheld. It's not helped. There's no discipline in anything. You just love a bunch of folks into something and make them, look good out of the flesh and appearance. And justice is never upheld. And the wicked, that's them, surround the who? So white righteous. Therefore, justice comes out what? And that's the way we've been seeing things, that justice has been coming out a little perverted. It looks good in somebody else's eyes instead of what God's eyes look like. All right, now, he says, look among the nations. Observe. This is what the Lord's saying. Be astonished and wonder. And here we go, what we saw over in Acts 13. He said, because I'm doing something in your days, and your days right now, you wouldn't believe if you were told. Mr. Flesh, scoffer, behold, I'm raising up the who? Which is a type of what? The powers of darkness, the demons? Just plain old, that's what it is. All right, here they are. I'm raising up that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize what? Oh, they seize these dwelling places, which are not theirs. They doing that? A bunch. Verse 7, they are what? Oh, dreaded and what? Oh, they are they dreaded and feared? Are the demons dreaded and feared? Listen, let's stop right here. Do you remember what I told you? What's it you told over in Acts 13? Take heed that this thing would not come upon you. Is that right? May I remind you then, Acts 13 wasn't telling you to take heed that the Galileans going to get you. Acts 13, your new covenant over here was telling you that them was going to get you. It didn't come upon you. And we've already seen that scoffers, the wise and intelligent, will never, 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 ever see it. Amen? He already said you wouldn't believe if somebody described it to you. Okay. So they sealed up. Now look at me. We're down here. I told you, you're going to have to use that spirit of that fruit of self-control here. You're going to have to just maintain yourself a little while. It's all over your Bible. Everything we're reading over here, we're going to find that over where we've been called something else. Okay, you with me? You love me? Okay. They're dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. The horses are swifter. Now watch it, the beast. The leopards, keener than the wolves in Eden. The horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a what? Well, there's your bird, and they're swooping down to what? Devour. All of them come for what? Violence. There it is, mark violence. Their horde of faces move forward. They collect what? They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings. Rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress. They heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. They'll be held guilty. They whose strength, it's their strength, who is their God. And then Habakkuk asks right here, starting in verse 12, and now you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ right in the middle of this. You ready? Here we go. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Thou, O Lord, has appointed them, that them is them, to what? Judge. Now you saw that, I'm going to turn back over to it. You saw this back over in, when I was looking at Babel, that the powers of darkness said, we're not going to be held guilty because they judge sin. When they see sin, they can move in, and that's what they see. And they're not going to be held guilty in as much as the powers of darkness said, they have sinned against the Lord. You remember that? We saw it over in Jeremiah 50. You want to make a little note there. All right, thou hast appointed them to judge, and thou, who? Who's that? Jesus has established them to what? Correct, or I think the King James calls it chastise. But anyway, they are to chastise. They are correct. Thou hast appointed them correct. Well, he goes on and say, well, how did these things get on us? They're worse than we are. Well, do you see? That's a good question. So he put verse 13 in there, and he said, thine eyes are too pure to approve evil. That's the evil in us. And evil is in all the people that God's ever had. And thou cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why dost thou look with favor on those who deal treacherously? That's on the demons. Why is thou silent with the wicked? That's the powers of darkness swallow up those who are more righteous than they are. Why? Why then? Well, we're going to see why. Why hast thou made men like what? Now, you've got to mark that good in your Bible. Make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them, and the who? And the Chaldeans a type of who? The demons? The demons bring all them up with what? Now look at me. Jesus has some fishermen, doesn't he? I believe Satan has him some fishermen too, doesn't he? He fishes for men too. You see that? Men are like fish in the sea, and the Chaldeans, the demons, all bring them all up with the hook. And now you see something that's been a curse all through the Old Testament, being drug away. See it right there? They bring them up with the hook, and they drag them away with their what? Now, that's what the curse, one of the curses you see all the way through the Old Testament. Now you know what that is. The powers of darkness drag away. Now, and they gather them together in their fishing net, and therefore, now when it talks about the Lord throwing your net on you, you'll find out that he lowers the hedge. He says, sick them. Now, I'm telling you now, and this is what you're going to see all over the Bible. Now, therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Now, verse 17, will they therefore continually empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? And that's exactly what they're doing, slaying nations without sparing right now. Now, I want you to turn to Hosea 4, please. And we're going to, that's where we had to start at, didn't we? You have to start somewhere, don't you? It's all right to start somewhere, isn't it? Good. Hosea 4. Well, you say, well, I hadn't been taught to study a Bible like that. Well, I hadn't either until God showed me to do this. Oh, Dudley, you know, they answered your question last night. Oh, Dudley, one of the best Bible teachers they are in this world. And I remember the first time I began showing and going through this thing with some bunch of pastors down in Dothan, Alabama. I know Dudley. And that's kind of encouraged because old Dudley went after a result and said, I've got a new Bible. It's going to be amazing. You know, when you see these things, you know what's going to happen. You're going to see how this flows and everything. I want to tell you, brother and sister, you're going to have, no means are going to be have time to cover this. It's going to change the reading of your Bible. When you put this in fact, when a word like it's going to see, it's so exciting. Really is. You're going to want to reread it. Make a tremendous difference. All right, now, by the way, just for your notes right here, in Amos 4:2, it's talking about the last day. It says, God, I'm going to take the last of you with fish hooks. And if we had any time, I'd run over there. But anyway, in Hosea 4, which is a type, well, back up there to 2. Hosea 2, I just want to look at one verse while we're close by. 2:19. I will betroth you to me, what? Forever. Think this might be Jesus speaking, huh? Yes, I will betroth you to me in what? Righteousness and justice, in loving kindness. That's covenant love. That's a God kind of love. 2:19. Hosea 2:19. In loving kindness and in compassion. And I will what? Betroth. You'll be married to me in what? Faithfulness. Then you're going to know the Lord. Amen? Isn't that good? Well, the Lord's everywhere all over his Bible, isn't it? Now let's go back to chapter 4. We're going to start looking at a congregation, okay? And we're going to see if this congregation had a few problems. I mean, it's kind of like a palace. And when we come to something, we're talking about Israel, we're talking about Judah or Jacob, or we switch around like that, you're still talking about the congregation, and it'll switch it over. You're still talking about a people that's supposed to be a people of God, that's supposed to be walking in the covenant of God. Now I want you to watch what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Now, began in Hosea 4. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. Now, are we sons of Israel? For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. Well, he has a case against Israel. Because there is what? Today, there's no faithfulness, there's kindness. You can see it in the church. It's not the faithfulness and kindness. Or what? The knowledge of God in the word, in the land, rather. But here's what's going on in the hearts of people. There is swearing, there is deception, murder is in their heart, stealing is in their heart, adultery is in their heart, and watch what they do. They employ what? They employ violence so that what? Bloodshed follows bloodshed. All right, now, when you employ the powers of darkness, when you employ perversion, now I'm just telling you what this is right now, and you're going to see it clearly. What happens? Bloodshed. You employ perverting the word, bloodshed follows bloodshed because there's no hedge or protection. You see that? That's how you spill the blood of the righteous. Now, therefore, the what? Verse 3, the land mourns. This land mourns. Always, where did we see that over in Jeremiah?
You know, when he's talking about the land mourns because of the curse. Because in this land, I'm telling you, there's some people on this land that cause this land to mourn. And they're not blessings, okay? That's them. The violence there is talking about. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives is in it languishes. Now, underline language, that means they lack force and are weakened. Now, look who's on the land with him. Along with the who? Beast of the field and the who? So you see who's on the land. Who, see who's on this land? You see it? Okay. And also the what? When they get on the land, the fish of the sea, who are they? Men. They disappear because they're the fishermen that come and bring them up the hick, fish hook, and drag them away. Is that right? Now, if you kind of get some surprised look on your face, you might as well get adjusted this. Because your Bible's fixing to change. Okay. All right, here's the kind of congregation this is. There's no faithfulness. It's kind of a congregation of compromise. Here they are. Verse 4, let no one find fault. Let none offer reproof. Let's just love them into it. For your people are like those who contend with the priests. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to stumble by day. Now look at me. In daytime, you're supposed to see where you're going. But you're stumbling in the daytime. You can't find the way of the Lord, right? Okay, for you will stumble by day, and the prophet also is going to stumble you night, and I'm going to destroy what? I'll destroy your mother, which is your what? I'm going to destroy your church. You absolutely are right. Now, my people are destroyed for this reason, for lack of knowledge. Isn't that what Paul said about, I pray for Israel for their what? Salvation. They have zeal for God, but it's not according to the word. Amen? Okay. You are destroyed because you have rejected what? You rejected the word, so I'm going to reject you from being what? I'm going to reject you from, when you reject the word, I reject you from being my priest. Since you've forgotten the word of your God, I will also forget your what? I'm going to forget your children. Now let's just look in chapter 5. And we see Ephraim, we see Judah, we see Jerusalem, we see Israel. These are all supposed to be a type of God, a type of the congregation of God. Okay? And you'll see it change from one to the other, and you'll get used to it in a little bit. Hosea 5. Let's start in verse 11. Here it is. It's a type of the congregation or church of God. Verse 11. Ephraim is oppressed. They are crushed in what? The judgment is the reason they're oppressed. Because here's their problem. He is determined to follow what? He's determined to follow man's command. So when you follow man's command, the anger of God and the wrath of God comes, and they come right behind him. So therefore, he says in verse 12, the Lord says, therefore I'm like a what? Now, listen. The curse of God, the curses of God is explained like being rottenness or a moth. Now, we've already run that once more, but we're going to see it all over. Now, these are some terms you're kind of getting used to. When you start putting the powers of darkness back in the Word, then you start having to get used to new things if you left them out, right? So you just go ahead and adjust right here, just like all the other hundreds that do it, see it right here from God too, and you're going to see it. Now, when you talk about the moth, that's them. The moth, and that's the way the powers of darkness, it's just a slow deterioration. Now, therefore, when you follow man's command in verse 12, therefore, I'm like a moth, Ephraim, and like what? There is your rottenness in the moth. You'll see it over to the house of Judah. Now, here's what the church is doing in verse 13. When the church, when Ephraim saw his what? All right, when he saw his sickness, and Judah his what? Wound. All right, when they saw their sickness, then the church, Ephraim, went to where? Which means they went where? They go to the world with their sickness. Okay. And sent to King Jerob, but he is what? He's unable to heal you or cure you of your what? Your wound, your sickness. For I will be like a what? Folks, now I want you to get used to these terms. When the Lord says, I'm going to be like a thief, you're going to see now that when he said, I'm going to be like the powers of darkness, because when I've turned them loose in Sycamonia, I'm an enemy to you. Amen? Now you get used to this because it's all over. Okay? All right. For I'm going to be like a lion to Ephraim. There's your powers of darkness. I'm going to be like a young lion to the house of Judah. Now let me just stop right there. where you know that and all the congregations throughout the Word of God, when they disobeyed God and disobedient to God, He hasn't turned any foxes and bears and lions and wolves on them, has He? No, these are a type of something, just like all the other things in the Word. And so I'm going to be like a lion to Ephraim, like a young lion to Judah, house of Judah. I are going what? I'll tear to pieces and go away. I'll carry away and there'll be none to deliver. Now, I want you to remember this word, tear to pieces. I'm starting down here again. I'm just going to have to look at me. I'm starting down here just a minute, and I'm wanting to tell you so you can get used to this term, tear to pieces. Now, if I'd been able to share with Covenant right here, you could have clearly understood this a lot clearer. Now, when they used to walk through the pieces, when two would make covenant, they would make the figure eight, they would drink the wine, which is the blood, they would feed each other the bread, which is blood and flesh. That was covenant that they would make. When they walked between, they would split an animal from, they wouldn't cut its head off, I mean from tail to head right there, and then when they'd make covenant with one another, and this, by the way, is what Abraham and God made their covenant together. That, oh no, there wasn't any need for Abraham. God just made it for Abraham. Of course, that's what Jesus did for you too. But see, when you walk through the pieces, that is a walk of death. That is a walk of death. When you walk through this walls of blood, and that's what covenant is a walk of death to yourself, because your identity is changing. Now, one of those, you know, there's blessings and curses in every covenant. Anytime you make covenant. Now, you know, like old Scott and I would make a covenant with one another. Well, then one of the blessings, I'd just speak blessings all over his family and all these things. I'd show him how much I had in the bank. All these things are his now. Everything I have his, everything his is mine. That's what when two become one blood, one flesh. Amen? And then would come the curses. Now, see, I've turned my whole life and everything. I've given it over to Scott. And, of course, now this time, you know, this is what we do with the Lord. And you know how much more serious it'd be if you do something like this with God. See, this is why we've not understood, because of why we've just been a little at liberty about and deceived about the things of God. But one of the things, you speak all kind of curses on each other, and people of this day understand when you speak word curses, James has a lot to say about it, speaking curses on people. See, it's been all right to speak curses on people since there wasn't any powers of darkness, or, you know, these things have been left out. So anyway, I'd speak curses on him. And one of the things that we would agree to, we would point to these pieces of where we walk through the pieces and say, Lord, you do to me and more. Pointing to these split pieces right here. If I don't keep my covenant. Now that's an oath before God. Now when the powers of darkness turn loose on people? When they're breaking covenant, they're not walking in covenant. The hedge comes down. I hope. Now, see, we're running some new things here, and you're going to just see it, and it'll all tie together, and you're just going to see it. But that's when they tear it to pieces. So when you tear it to pieces, who do you think tears you to pieces? Who do you think tears you to people in Deuteronomy 28 when you do not walk in covenant right there? Said, if you do not obey the word, the hedge come down, and here they come. They tear you to pieces. Like a moth. Like rottenness. Amen? Okay, so let's look at it again, verse 14. For I'm going to be like a lion. That is, he's going to be like a thief to Ephraim, like a young lion to the house of Judah. This Lord, I'm going to tear to pieces. I'll go away. I'll carry away, and there will be none to what? Nobody's going. See, when the Lord goes away, there's nobody to deliver you. You can't be free. If the Lord don't set you free, you got an enemy too strong for you, there's no way for you to be free. He's the only one stronger than the powers of darkness, and not one demon does one thing against the will of God. Is that plain? Okay. Now, 15, I will go away when this happens. I'll return to my place. In other words, his presence is gone, and a lot of his presence is gone, until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In other words, there comes repentance. When they repent, my presence is gone till they repent. And in their affliction, and you see how the affliction comes on, they will earnestly seek me. Now, turn to chapter 7. And we're going to look at the world in the church. Chapter 7, verse 8. The church, Ephraim, mixes himself with the what? With the world, nations. Ephraim has become a cake not turned. There is your harlotry. A cake not turned, that's the harlotry. Now, strangers, now what's your name? Strangers, that's them, they devour his strength, yet he does not know it. Scoffers will never know it. They won't know it if you describe it to them. He devour his strength, yet he does not know it. Gray hairs are sprinkled on him, yet he does not know it. In other words, he's growing older and older in this situation, and he doesn't know the state that he's in. Now, verse 10. Though the pride of Israel, there's the pride of the church, testifies against him. Now, how's the pride of the church testify against us today? You know, won't go to the altar, won't praise the Lord, won't humble ourselves. That's how your pride testifies against you. Though the pride of Israel testifies against him, yet they have neither what? They won't repent. They neither return the Lord their God, nor how they what? Sought him for all this. So Ephraim has become like a silly dove without sense. They call to what? They call to the world. Egypt. They go to Syria, Madison Avenue. When they go, I'll spread my what? Did we read about that net over in the back of one? I'll spread my net over them. I'll bring them down like the birds of the sky. I will what? Now, what's he chastised with? He chastised with his net. Amen? I will chastise them in accordance with the proclamation of their assembly. Now, what's the proclamation to the assembly? The proclamation of the assembly is in Deuteronomy 28. If you don't walk in the covenant and receive the blessing, then I proclaim that you'll walk, that you'll have the curses upon you. That is the proclamation. So you see why they get there. Now, so you'll see where this all directed against and where it's coming against. You can look at it clearly. Now, things got getting clearer and clearer. You know, we started on Wednesday just building and building and building and building and tying. And when you think you've run into something, well, we just get it all tied together and we go on the next thing. And there you go. Now, chapter 8. You're going to see where all this is directed against. Now, what's a trumpet? A trumpet's when you sound a horn. Do you believe the trumpet's blowing right now? I hear the trumpet blowing. Amen. Now, chapter 8, verse 1. Put the trumpet to your lips, and this is a warning, and this is what you've been hearing for 3 days. Like an eagle, there's your birds of the air. The what? The enemy's coming against what? The house of the Lord. Now, this is everything we're reading about right here. The enemy's coming against the house of the Lord. Why? Because they have transgressed what? They transgressed the covenant and rebelled against what? The word of God. They rebelled against the word. And then verse 2, they cry out to me, my God, we of Israel know thee. You're the king, we're the queen, we can't be a widow. Ho-hum. Israel has rejected the good, verse 3, and the enemy will pursue him. They have set up kings, that's leaders, flesh, but not by me. See, they set themselves in a position to be controlled by men. They've appointed princes and leadership, flesh, but I didn't know it. And with their $100 bills and their silver gold, they've made idols for themselves that they might be what? They let themselves get into a situation where they're controlled by men. Now, 5. Sound like a gold calf, doesn't it? Huh? I can't hear you. Amen. All right, verse 5. He has rejected your calf. Oh, Samaria is saying, my anger burns against them. Now, when his anger burns against him, what happens next? Here they come. And how long will they be incapable of innocence? Now, here's what they're doing in this congregation church situation. Verse 7. For they sow the wind. What is the wind? Words. Just write it in there. I'm going to give you a second. They sow words and they reap the what? When you sow words, you reap the whirlwind, which is the storm. Amen? And the standing head has no grain, which means it's straw, right? That's what words bring, straw. We saw it in Jeremiah 23. It yields no what? Words don't yield any fruit. There's no fruit. Just put it, no grain, no fruit. Should it yield, who's going to swallow it up? Huh? That sounds like them over in the parable of the word. They come steal the word, right? Come and take the word away from you. They come and take it away. The strangers come and take it away. Okay. Verse 8. The church is swallowed up. They're now among the world. You see that? They're now among the world like a vessel in which no one delights. They might have something. I bet you, can't you just see a place like this right here? A church like this? They probably got a big sign out front giving the world time and temperature. And it might read something like this. Our super young marrieds are on the grow. Come in and get counted, world. Boy, I can't wait to get in there and get counted. Like a vessel which no one delights. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey. Here's your harlotry. All along, Ephraim has what? They hire their lovers to get numbers. They hire their lovers to Madison Avenue to get nickels. Oh my. What would God do without Madison Avenue? I want to ask you something right here. Do you remember? I'm not going to turn to you. I want you to write this down on something, this verse right here. Exodus 20, 25. I want you to look at, write it down. Now I want you to look at me right here just a second. Now, write it right up in top of Hosea 10. Where it says Hosea 10, just write Exodus 20, 25. Now I want you to look at me right here, and I want to tell you what that said, because I'm going to wait. I'm kind of just a little bit behind, and I want to. You know, when they were building the altar, he said, "What's the altar for? That's where you come to worship and sacrifice and worship and praise the Lord. Isn't that right?" And they used to bring the sacrifice and the praise and worship to the Lord altar. Now this is how in Exodus 20:25 it says, "When you build an altar for me," he said, "Here's how you're going to build it. You build it of uncut stones. It's uncut stones. You'll not wield an iron tool on it. You just go and pick up the stones and pile them up there and put it. You're not going to wield any iron tool on it, because when you do, you're going to profane my altar." In other words, what he's telling them, don't you get these stones, start fancying up, and it'll get fancier and fancier and fancier and fancier and bigger, and then people's hearts go to the altar instead of to me. Are you seeing? So don't you wield an iron tool on this thing, or you're going to profane it, right? Now let me show you what's out. What's that altar a type of today? You know, the foot of the cross, Calvary, is the real altar, but that altar is a type, you know, in a meeting house where we come to. That's what a meeting house is, you know, to come to the foot of the cross to worship the Lord and an altar. All right, now, you let people come to there, and it just gets beautiful. You know, God deserves the best. Let's get their drapes about a half inch thicker. And God deserves the best seats. Let's get her cushions about 3 more inches thicker. God deserves the best carpet. Let's add another inch or two of the thicker than that right there. And let's get the best and everything. And you know, pretty soon it starts looking like a palace. You know, did you ever see in these high back chairs up here? You know, look like little thrones up there, you know? They look like little boys sitting in them, their feet dangling off, you know, and everything. Who do you think's talking to them about that? If you didn't know better, it'd look like a palace, wouldn't it? Well, then people walk in one of these palaces and their hearts start trusting the altar. And you know what God says? You know what they're really, God sees them in their heart. He said, I'm rich, increased in goods. God really needs me. Look how I'm helping him out. I don't fear God. I don't fear King Jesus. I mean, what did Jesus do for me? I'm already there. I'm rich. I'm already there. Fear the Lord? What I need to fear the Lord for? I don't need to fear the Lord. I mean, what can King Jesus do for me? I'm doing it for him. Well, God knew it'd be that way. That's why he put Hosea 10 in there. Look at this. Verse 1, Israel, the church is a luxuriant vine. You'll see it's an empty vine in King James, or degenerate vine. It's the wrong vine. It's the vine of the world. He produces fruit for who? Might be nickels, noses, numbers, building. Does not love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Right? Okay. This kind of fruit, he produces fruit for what? Himself, because he's making a name for himself. Right? Now, I'm telling you what, if you don't listen to me, you're going to miss something. He produces fruit for himself. The more his fruit, the more altars he makes, more meeting houses, the richer his land, the more those silver and gold $100 bills, the better and bigger he makes these what? Sacred pillars. Their heart is faithless. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord's going to break down their altars. He'll destroy their sacred pillars. Surely now they'll say, and this is what's in their heart, we have no king. There's King Jesus. For we do not fear the Lord. They don't fear the Lord. It's what's in their heart. As for King Jesus, what can he do for us? They speak what? Mere words with worthless oaths. They make covenant. And what? There it is. Judgment. That's it. Judgment of God. Sycam sprouts like what? Poisonous weeds into what? Now look, let me show you where judgment sprouts up at. Right here it is. Here it comes. Right here in this field right here. That's where the thorns and the thistles. That's why I said your ground needs plowed up so you can receive some seed, right? Well, I knew he was going to say that because look over in verse 12. This is what they need. 12:12. So with a view to what? Now righteous is walking right in God's eyes. Isn't that right? If you sow the flesh, what do you reap? Corruption, you sow the spirit, you reap eternal life, which is righteousness. That's right in God. Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with what? Kindness. Break up your fallow ground. Here it is. Look at me. Break up this field right here. Judgment's on it. Possess the land, he say. Break it up. Have good soil. Do you remember that? Have good soil. So you can understand, receive the word. Okay. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes to reign. There's your Holy Spirit. Righteousness on you. Now here's what you've been doing, church. You have plowed wickedness. This is what's been in your field. You've reaped injustice. That's what's been coming out of your field. You've eaten the fruit of lies. There's your traditions. Because you have trusted in whose ways? You've trusted in your way and in your numbers. That's what you've trusted in. You've trusted in lies. You've trusted in your way and your numbers. Now, I want you to hold your hand right there, and I want you to turn right, and I want to show you something. Oh, there's a lot more, but I want to show you just a little about numbers. First Chronicles. Turn back to First Chronicles. Right before Psalms. First Chronicles 21. Okay? First Chronicles 21. David really got crossways with the Lord one time. David got crossways with the Lord, and a bunch of folks got killed in Israel. He sure wouldn't do that today, though, would he? Hath God really said? Well, 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Then, right before Psalms, then who stood up? Satan stood up. I want everybody to see this. I don't run off and leave you. It's after Kings. I'm just going to wait on it. It's important for you to see this. Okay, here we are. Verse 1. Then Satan stood up against who? He stood up against the people of God. And what did he do? He moved David. Who moved David? Satan moved David to what? Start counting. Amen? Let's start counting and see what we got here. So David said to Joab and to the prince of the people, go count Israel. Go start. Let's count and see how many we got. From Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me word that I may know their number. And Joab, you know, knew. He said, may the Lord add to his people 100 times as many. Let the Lord do an adding. But my Lord the King, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why does my Lord seek this? Why should you bring this cause, the guilt of Israel? He knew it was from the devil, didn't he? Well, let's see what the Lord thought about all that. Him listening to Satan and getting caught up in his heart and his numbers. And in verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing, so he struck Israel, the people of God. And he struck them, and David said to God, I have sinned what? I've sinned greatly, getting involved, my heart going after these numbers, in that I have done this thing. But now please take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly, right? I've been very foolish. And then verse 14, so the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell because their hearts got turned toward the numbers. And you say, well, God sure wouldn't do this today. Well, let me tell you something. When we get through with that New Testament today, you might change your mind. There might be something over you hadn't noticed. Okay, we're back over in Hosea. Now, you're not as mad at me as you was, are you? Now, chapter 13 takes a little time. Hosea 13. Now, here he's talking about these people. He continues to talk about them. Hosea 13, verse 6. As they had their pasture, that's where, you know, where you come to feed, they became what? Oh, satisfied. I'm going to put you a little one, but they're being satisfied. Their heart becomes what? Satisfied people become proud. Boy, God needs them. And therefore, after you become proud, what's the next step? You forget God. You become satisfied, then you become proud, and then you don't need God. So, God says in that case, verse 7, so I'm going to be like a what? Here he comes. He's going to be a thief. Let's see what he does to him. I'm going to be like a lion to him. Now watch all the different kind of beast that he is, which is a type of the powers of darkness that are coming. I'll be like a lion to them, like a leopard. There's another beast. I'll lie in wait by the wayside. Verse 8, I'll encounter them like a what? Bear. There you got the leopard, the lion, and the bear, robbed of their cubs. I will what? I'm going to tear open their chest. In other words, tear them to pieces. They are breaking covenant. There I will also devour them like a what? I devour them like a lioness, as a what? Wild beast would tear them. It is your, now see, you got the lioness, you got the wild beast, you got the bear, the leopard, you got the lion. They all turn loose because people are proud. They turn away from God. They're satisfied. Okay, verse 9. It is your, what's that word? Destruction, O Israel, O church, that you're what? That you are against me. Now I'm going to show you that. Something about that when you get over in New Testament. You remember where that is. Now, are you seeing all these things, how the Lord's becoming a thief right there? Well, amen. All right, now I want you to look now in chapter 14. Chapter 14. Now, what he's saying to the church right here in chapter 14 is, return, O Israel. In other words, what's he saying to Israel, the church? Repent. It's saying for to repent. Amen? Repent. Return, O Israel, repent to the Lord your God, for you have what? You've stumbled because of your what? Your sin. Now take your words with you and repent. Amen? Just turn loose all those words and everything and repent and return to the Lord. And say, here's what you need to say to him. Say to him, take away all sin and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips to praise the Lord. The world's not going to save us. We're not going to ride on horses. We're not going to follow flesh anymore. And nor are we going to say again, our God, to the works of our hands. Isn't that plain? For in thee, in the Lord, the orphan, that's a lost person, finds what? Now see, he hasn't got a father. Let's don't get in the flesh like this. This is what's talking about a lost. He finds mercy. And now, you know how we get into the presence of the Lord? By having good soil. Isn't that right? Isn't that correct? Well, good. All right. Sure have a sweet spirit, haven't I? dropped everything. I got a little test, and I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord. I'd always triumph in your name. You should see this. Okay, now. Okay, you get in the presence of the Lord, that means in His shadow. Isn't that right? You're getting His shadow. Okay. Let's look down in verse 7. They've repented. Hadn't they talked about them repenting up there? Those who live in His shadow. That means His presence. Isn't that what we saw in James 4? You get in His presence, will again raise what? And that grain is what? When you get in the presence of the Lord, you're going to raise fruit. Isn't that right? And you get in the presence of the Lord by dealing with all your sin and bearing fruit. Is that right? Now you're going to get Jesus all over the place here. Now get ready. You again raise grain and their blossom, they will blossom like the vine. Does the blossom come before the fruit? There has to be a blossom. Some blossoms blow away and dry up or fall off. But this blossom, and they will blossom like the vine, his renown to be like the wine of Lebanon. Now, O church, this is the type of the people of God. What more have I to do? Now, let's just slow down a little. What more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. By the way, this Lord speaking. I am like a luxuriant cypress. Here it comes. From me comes your fruit. It's the Lord. Now, verse 90, ask you a question. Whoever is wise. Now, I want you to know the one who is wise, who hears the word of God and walks in it. The wise person walks in covenant with the Lord. Amen? All right, it says here, who is wise? Let him what? Now, the wise can understand these things. The scoffer never, 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 never will understand it. Okay? Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Whoever is what? Discerning. Let him know them. Now, discerning is hid from people who draw near with their mouth. Well, you saw it in Isaiah 29. There's discernment's going to be concealed for people that draw near with their mouth and their hearts far from them. Amen? Okay. Now, whoever's discerning, the wise, the ones who come that are going to understand it, whoever's discerning, let him what? Know them. Now, if you're not wise and you're not discerning, you're not going to understand this. Amen? Let's go ahead. For the ways of the Lord are what? Right, which are righteousness, and the righteous are going to what? The righteous are going to walk in these ways, but transgressors are going to what? Look at me. They're going to stumble in it. They're going to stagger. They're going to stagger. A transgressor of the covenant cannot find his way. He'll stagger. Now, I'll tell you a little verse you might want to write down there. Below that, you recall that we saw over in 1 John 3, was it 7 or 17? Little children, do not be deceived. It's 17. The one who is righteous practices righteousness. And is that kind of saying the same thing? Huh? Absolutely. Now, since we kind of got worked through some of these things, I want to show you how these powers of darkness there kind of work. Let's turn to Jeremiah 8, please. Jeremiah 8. Turn back to Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8. Now, this is where we was earlier, you know, that the people had turned to continual apostasy. And they like a horse charging in a battle. They don't know the ordinance of the Lord. The lying scribes, the writers have twisted and made it into a lie. So they're going to give their fields to new owners, which is possessing ones. All right, now let's look over in verse 17. Here's what he's going to do to these people right here. Verse 17. For behold, I'm sending what? Serpents against you. Have any idea who that is? Them. Adders from which there is no charm, and they're going to what? They'll bite you, declares the Lord. My sorrow is beyond healing. 18. My heart is faint within me. Verse 19. Behold, listen, the cry of the daughter of my people. The daughter of people is just another type of the church of people of God. The cry of the daughter of my people from a distant land. Now, you're going to get asked some questions right here, and I wish you would start number them right there. Now, the first thing it asks in this congregation right here, in this church, is it says, now, number one, is the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus, not in Zion? That's your first question, okay? The next question, it asks the same thing. Is her king not within her? That's King Jesus, okay? In Zion. That's the king of Zion, isn't it? Shake your head. All right, he is a king and he's the Lord. Okay. All right. Why have they provoked me with their graven images, with their foreign idols? Now, watch very closely in 20. Harvest is past. Harvest is past. Summer is ended. Summer's when you're supposed to be bearing fruit, isn't it? Huh? And it wasn't anything to harvest, don't sound like. And we are not saved. Wonder who they bear fruit for. Sound like babbling, don't it? For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn, dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Now, all right, now, there's the next question. Now, look here, and there's the next one. Who is a physician? Who is a real physician? Jesus. He says, is there no physician there? It's already asked, is the Lord there? Is the king there? Is the physician there? And if it asks, and what it's saying, is Jesus there? And then the next question, if Jesus is there then, why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been restored? And that's a congregation I was reading to you about, was it yesterday, that was in continual apostasy. That the lying scribes had twisted the word of God. See, why are you not restored? Why are you not healed? Now, look with me in Jeremiah 30, and I want you to see how the Lord does this. Jeremiah 30, please. Jeremiah 30. All right, in Jeremiah 30, I want you to read three verses with me. Let's start over in verse 12, okay? For thus says the Lord, 30 verse 12, your wound, your sickness is incurable, and your injury is serious. There is no one to what? Plead your cause. Who's the one that pleads the cause? The Lord Jesus. There's no what? No healing for your sore. No what? There's no recovery for you. Why? Verse 14. All your lovers. Now, Jesus is not pleading for you. He's not your advocate. All your lovers have forgotten you. Now, you see, where's he loving at? He had some gods out there in the world. We've seen this over and over. See, the lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. Now, here's what's happened to you. For I have what? I've wounded you with the what? The wound of an enemy. That's how Jesus becomes a thief. You see it over and over and over. See, these are not isolated places. I can't even begin to get into this thing in a short time that we're going to look at this day. It is absolutely all of your work. I have wounded you with the wound of enemy, with the punishment of who? See, that is what it comes for. The punishment of the cruel. Because why? It sounds like you got this sickness because of sin. The powers of darkness were turned off because of sin, and the powers of darkness brought the sickness there. Amen? The enemy brought it. With the punishment of a cruel one, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. Is that real clear? All right, now, let's look back in Jeremiah 15 a minute. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15, okay? Tommy, would you take that list up there, please? All right. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found And I ate them. In other words, what Jeremiah's prayer and God's answer we're looking at is that I ate them and I took them to work, took them to my heart. And thy words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. This Jeremiah speaking, for I have been called by thy name. There's covenant. Amen. O Lord God of hosts. Now, verse 17. Jeremiah says, I did not sit in the circle of merrymakers, nor did I exult and wasn't proud. Because of thy hand upon me, I sat where? I sat alone. It's kind of lonely sometimes, isn't it? For thou did fill me with indignation. Why has my what? My pain been perpetual. Sound like a little sickness there involved, doesn't it? All right? It'll get clear. And my wound, what? Why has it been incurable, refusing to be healed? Will thou indeed be to me like a deceptive stream? In other words, is your word no good, Lord? Your word doesn't work? Is it a deceptive stream? With water, that's word. Is your word that is unreliable? Your word's not reliable. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you now repent, return, then I'm going to restore you. Before me, you will stand. And I want to tell you something, folks. All you pastors and people in the ministry of the Lord, I want you to see this is very, very important scripture. I tell you, God has said this to me over and over. He said, now you're going to repent, you and I'm going to restore you, and you're going to stand before me if you extract the precious from the worthless, you'll become what? You'll become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. Then, after this, I'll make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze, and though they fight against you, they'll not prevail over you. For I'm with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. So I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I'm going to redeem you from the grasp of who? Who's the violent? Absolutely right there. He's going to redeem him from them. Now, back up to, let's go there to the fourth verse. The next chapter, the fourth verse. I don't think that's going to sound right. Let's back up to three. For thus says the Lord concerning his sons and daughters born in this place, and concerning the mothers who bear them, and the fathers who beget them in this land. They're going to what? They're going to die of deadly diseases. You see that? That's what God said. They're going to die of deadly diseases. They will not be lamented or buried. They will be as dung on the surface of the ground. And they're going to come to an end by the what? The sword, not a man. What is that? That's a sword. It's a curse. And the famine, that's a famine. The covenant, the word. And their carcasses is going to be food. Become food for who? See, when the God withdraws his covenant with somebody right there, I'm telling you, when they're not in covenant, they're dead in God's eyes if they're not in covenant with God. But he said their carcass is going to become food for the who? The birds of the sky and for the beasts of the earth. For thus says the Lord, do not enter a house of mourning or go to lament or console them, for I have what? I withdrawn my peace from them. And I'll tell you how the peace is withdrawn. The hedge come down, the powers of God of darkness come to attack your mind and your will, your emotions, and your soul. And there's no rest, there's no peace until you're repented and resisting the devil. And the hedge comes up. For I have drawn my peace from this people, declares the Lord, my loving kindness, that's covenant and compassion. In other words, the hedge is removed. Now let's look in verse 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, see the deadly disease is coming on. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'm going to eliminate from this place before your eyes and in your time. I believe this is what we read about the Babylon, the church over in Revelation 18. I'm going to eliminate the voice of what? Rejoicing. The voice of what? May I ask you how much rejoicing and gladness is in the church today? I'm going to remove all these voices of rejoicing, the voice of the gladness, the voice of the who? Who are we talking about? Jesus. And I'm going to remove the voice of the what? And the deadly diseases are going to be there. When in the covenant of the blood of goats and bulls and ice in heaven, they weren't going to have any diseases, was they? All right, here we go. Verse 10, now it'll come about when you tell this people all these words, they will say, for what reason? What reason has the Lord declared all this great calamity on us that the whole churches are demonized and so forth? What's all this happened for? And what is your iniquity? What is our sin? What have we commanded against the Lord our God? Then you're going to say to them, it's because your forefathers have forsaken me and they've handed it on down to you, declares the Lord. And you followed other what? Who are those other gods? Sacrificing and falling and receiving the idols of the world, the idols of demons, and names, reputation, images, and silver and the gold. Because you followed other gods and you've served them and you bowed down to them. But they have forsaken and have not kept my word. You too have done evil more than your forefathers, for behold, you are each one walking according to the what? You're walking the stubbornness of your own evil heart without listening to me. You don't have to obey the word. Just, you don't have to walk in covenant. Well, there's a difference. Now, we saw over and over the foundations of people are foolish who don't walk in covenant and obey the word of God, right? The prudent and the wise are the ones that walk in it. Now, it'll get a little interesting right here when we get to 16. We'll see where we're headed right here. I hope you understand who they are by now. Did we read about some fishermen over in the back of one? Well, you'll see a lot of them. Behold, I'm going to send for what? Many fishermen, declares the Lord. And they're going to what? They're going to fish for these folks right here. What did it say about Babylon, that they were a dwelling place of what? I can't hear you. It was a dwelling place of demons. The fishermen. Okay. I'm going to send for many fishermen, declares the Lord, and they're going to fish for them. Underline, they're going to fish for them. And afterwards, I'm going to send for many hunters, and they'll hunt for them. Sound like some folks being taken captive, do it? From every mountain and every hill, from the clefts of the rock, verse 17, for my eyes. You know what the Lord's eyes is his spirit. For my eyes are on all their ways, my spirit. They're not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. Is that getting a little plainer? All right, let's turn to Isaiah 1, please. Turn back to Isaiah, the first chapter. This is a rebellious people. This is a rebellious congregation. This is a rebellious church. And Isaiah 1, they're rebellious people. Now, I would just love, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the things you ought to do. When we get through this, you just start reading Isaiah, and it'll jump all over you in a different way. And then read Jeremiah. Okay, this is a rebellion of God's people right here. That's what Isaiah is about here. A rebellion of God's people. Okay, verse 2. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth. Sounds like a world, don't it? For the Lord speaks, sons I have reared and brought up, for they have what? They revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel, the church, does not know. My people do not what? Understand. It sounds like they're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth, right? Verse 4, alas, what kind of nation? Sinful nation, people weighed down with what? Sin, offspring of evildoers, sons who have corruptly their transgressions. They have abandoned the Lord. See, they become satisfied, proud, and forgot God. They have despised the what? Now, how is it you hate and despise Jesus or the Word? When you pretend obedience to Him, that is what an adulteress does. Adulteress pretends obedience to the Lord, and that they hate the Lord. They despise the Lord. We saw that in Psalm 81:15, if you make a note. We also saw that in Jeremiah 23 when we was talking about that prophet that speaks from its own imagination to this congregation that despises him. Now, verse 5, where you be stricken, in other words, a judgment on you, Where's your judgment? Will you be stricken again as you continue in your what? Rebellion, that's rejecting God's word, we saw in Psalms 107. The whole head is sick of the congregation, and the whole heart is what? Faint. It's stricken and sick. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds. That's all he sees. Not pressed out or bandaged, not softened with the oil. Doesn't like sound like the Spirit of God. The oil is working with them right. As a matter of fact, kind of kick out the wounded, it sounds like, doesn't it? Huh? Your land is what? Now, desolate. No fruit, no water, no word. Your cities, your churches are what? They're burned with what? Fire. All right. Now, what's the next part, Brad? Your what? Right here, your fields. Who are devouring them? Strangers are devouring them in what? In your presence. You see that? Now, that's what happens. It is a desolation as overthrown by what? And who's going to be the abomination that comes into the holy place to make desolation? There it is. Okay. Verse 8. Here's how God sees the church today. I just want to tell you. And the daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in the vineyard. Here it is. To God, it looks like a watchman's hut in a cucumber's field. Like a besieged city. I guess it looks impressive to the natural eye or something. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go just a little farther right there than I planned to. Let's jump over to verse 21. See, it's corrupted. Zion, the church, is corrupted. Why don't you look at it? How the faithful city, the faithful church, has become a what? Become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness, once dwelt, and it's not there anymore. But now what? Murders. They try to destroy all the spiritual things, right? We saw it in James 4. Boy, you don't get your way, you commit murder. You're falling at your bread. Now verse 20. Your silver has become dross. In other words, it's rejected. Your drink, that's the word of God, is what? It's diluted with what? Words. It's watered down so it has no effect. I mean, God's word doesn't have any effect if you don't say what God says. See, his word's watered down. Your rulers, in other words, your rulers, your leaders are what? They're rebels. They're rebellious to the word. And companions of thieves. In other words, they're seeking their own ways, rewards. Everybody loves a bride. They're taking advantage for the flesh. Careers. A name for themselves, a name for their ministry. And they chase after what? Seek an opportunity for flesh. Now that's what's going on. They do not defend the lost, nor does the widow's plea, that's a lost. Now this widow is a lost person. Does the widow's plea come before them? That's the cry of the lost persons. Well, I'm telling you, Isaiah's a lot of fun sometimes. Jump over 27. What we say there the rest of the afternoon? 27. Now, here's your church. Zion will be redeemed with what? There's got to be discipline. There's got to be obeying the word. And her repentance, our ones, are going to be redeemed with righteousness. And righteousness, which you mean, they're going to start walking in covenant. But transgressors of the covenant and sinners are going to be crushed together. And those forsake the Lord shall come to the end. Now, watch very closely in 29. I'm going to slow down a little. Surely you're going to be ashamed of the oaks. These oaks are strong men after the flesh. That's where your heart goes to. The men after the flesh. You're going to be ashamed of these strong men which you have what? Desired. And you're going to be embarrassed at the gardens. Now this is what you're growing in your gardens, which you've chosen. Could be buildings and religious and sowed to the flesh. You see that? You're going to be embarrassed at your fruit. Here's what's going to happen to you, verse 30. For you will be like an oak whose leaf fades away. What caused an oak's leaf to fade away? There's no water. Isn't it right? So that means a famine of the word. The oak leaf fades away when there's no water. for the tree. Isn't that right? No word. Okay. Now, he said that's what you're going to be like, an oak whose leaf fades away. Or as a garden that has no what? Sees no word for you. And the strong man, that's that flesh leadership, will become what? Tender. It's going to dry up, no word. And his work, all his works are going to be a what? Spark. It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and they're both going to what? The strong men and all their works are going to be burned up. You see that? Huh? They're all going to be worth, and they're going to be none to quench it or stop it. Well, let's go back where we was right there, and let's go to Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah 5. It's going to go a couple of places real quick, and we'll try to go eat again. We're going to take a real short little thing, because we're going to finish, and I'm going to tell you what, folks, I'm telling you now, in Jesus' name, you better not let something talk you out of leaving her. This might be one of the most important days of your life. I have seen people. I have watched them, and you know, I'd see them, and I'd say, boy, I'm just looking, and I could see them kind of receive the word, and boy, I just wanted them so free, and boy, I just look forward to seeing them. The Lord would just let me see, to see them be free, because I, you know, the word is just, you know what you mean? And I'd watch them right at the last minute before we was going to take authority. I'd watch them get up and leave there, and it absolutely break my heart, and there's not one thing I can do about it. It's totally out of my and your hands. All I can do is tell you, and that's all. Now, we got to stay in this long enough to where you're sick. We've got to tie these things together. We've been saying some pretty heavy stuff. All right? In Jeremiah 5, let's start in verse 3. Oh, Lord. Yeah, will you back up to 4 a little bit? There's something. I won't be back this way again, and you've got to see this. I'm telling you what's the truth. See, that's what happens when you just got an afternoon lap. It should be a week. All right, Jeremiah 4, verse 6. Lift up a standard. In other words, lift up the word of God towards Zion, the church. Seek refuge. Do not stand still, for I'm bringing evil from the north and great destruction. You want to know who that is coming out of the north? That's them. A lion, there you see it, has come up out of his thicket. That's them. A destroyer of nations is set up. He's gone out from his place to make your what? He's sending these to make your land. Look at me right here. Your land right here. They're not going to get you gardens. Right here they're going to make. Not that where you grow okra. They're going to make this land a waste. Is that clear? Okay. Your cities, your churches will be in ruins without inhabitants. For this, you had better put on sackcloth. You better repent, lament, and wail. For the fierce what? Anger of the Lord has not what? It's not turned back from us. Now, here's what he's telling us to do today. This is what he's saying in verse 14. Wash your heart from what? All right, now look at me. I want to show you how you wash your heart from evil. Please look at me. You wash your heart from evil because when you get full of lies and traditions right here, you have to take the Word of God, and the Word of God and the truth begins cleaning out all these lies. It washes it, and so you can see and know. When you start seeing the truth, then the truth starts setting you free from everything else, right? So wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem church, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked what? Thoughts going to do what? All right, now look at me, folks. That is a very extremely important scripture and something I've been telling you. See, you can't help these flaming missiles coming to your mind. Awful thoughts. I mean, sometimes when you're praying, just ungodly, awful things. But the thing, let them pass on through. Let this lust pass on through. Let that unforgiveness pass on through. Let all of this ungodly stuff, don't let these wicked thoughts lodge up there. Amen? There are problems in it lodged up there, and they need washed with the Word so he can be saved. Amen? Now you see why I want to jump back, didn't you? Okay, let's go back over where we started at in 5. Jeremiah 5. Let's begin in verse 3. O Lord, do not thine eyes look for truth? That's what he looks for. Thou hast smitten them. I mean, turned the powers of the Lord on, just beating their heads off. But they did not weaken. They just hang in there. Thou hast consumed them. It's hanging there like the world. But they refuse to take correction. They won't repent. They've made their faces harder in the rock. They have refused to repent. Then, here's the Lord. This is what he's saying today, right now. Here's what the Lord said, verse 4. Then I said, they're only the poor. They are the foolish. For they do not know the what? They don't know the way of the Lord or the word of their God. So here's what God says. Verse 5. Here's what I'm going to do. The Lord said, I'm going to go to the great. I'm going to go to their leaders. And I'll speak to them. For they know the way of the Lord and the word of the God, their God. They know it. But they too, with one accord, they've broken the yoke. They've burst the bonds. Therefore, verse 6, here's what they're going to happen. Here's what God said. It's happened. Therefore, a lion from the forest is going to what? All right, he turns loose the powers of darkness, which come to kill, steal, and destroy. The hedge is down. Therefore, a lion from the forest shall slay them. Here comes ye beast. A wolf of the desert shall be destroy them. There they are. A leopard is watching their cities, their churches. Everyone who goes out of them is going to be what? Now, you remember when I told you about that torn to pieces? Why? Because their transgressions against the covenant of God. Do you see that? Because their transgressions are many and their apostasies away from God are numerous. So he tells these powers of darkness, we look in verse 10, go through her vine rows and destroy this vineyard. But do not execute a complete destruction. Strip away her branches, for they are not the Lord's branches. Verse 12, they've lied about the Lord in their traditions and said, not he. Misfortune's not going to come on us. No demons will come on us. No demons will come on us. And say, we're not going to see the sword. No curses are down today. We don't see no famine of the word. We've already rich and increased the good. There's no famine of the word for us. We're not ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now let's go to verse 23. But this people here has a stubborn and a rebellious heart. They have what? They've turned aside and departed, fallen away. They do not say in their heart, they don't say in their heart, they might say it in their head, in their hearts they don't say, let us now what? Let us now the fear of the Lord our God. No, they don't say that, who gives the Holy Spirit the rain in its season, put HS there. Both the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Verse 25, your iniquities, your sins have turned these away. It's turned the Spirit of God away. And your sins have withheld good from you. Is that what the Lord's saying in the church today? For wicked men, there they are found among my people. They are unequally yoked. They watch like fowlers lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men like a cage full of birds. So their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they become great and rich. I told you. They're fat. They're sleek. They also excel in deeds of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the lost, the orphan, that they may prosper. They do not defend the rights of the lost, the poor in spirit. Verse 29, shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord, on a nation such as this? Now here is vengeance. Shall I not avenge myself? Instead of the blessings, they get the curses. So verse 31, no, verse 30, an appalling, and God calls it a horrible thing, appalling and horrible thing, and God says, has happened in the land. The prophets are preaching falsely, and the pastors rule on their own authority, and my people just love it so. But what you going to do at the end of it? Now quickly to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. I tell you what, I was going to look at the shepherds here in 34, but I'm going to drop up and look at the congregation in 33. So we're going to add something a little extra here. Ezekiel 33 and verse, I think it's good to look at the congregation, verse 30. 33:30. We'll start there instead of where we started to start in. Verse 30. As for you, son of man, your fellow citizens, who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, they speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now, and let's hear the message which comes from the Lord. Ho-hum. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For this is what they do. They do the what? They do these lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart is where? Their heart goes after their gain. What a congregation. And behold, you're to them like a sensual song. They just love feelings. But one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as it surely will, then you'll know, they'll know that a prophet has been in their midst. Chapter 34. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, here's a prophecy against the shepherds of the church today, right now. Verse 2, son of man, you prophesy against these shepherds of the church, Israel. You prophesy and you say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, whoa, shepherds of Israel have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? In other words, you don't pick and choose and hand them out there what's going to be yours like it's going to be your glory. You say what God says. And I'm going to tell you what a shepherd does. He does the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only ministry that's been handed down. He will preach the gospel, this gospel. He'll cast out demons. And he will heal the sick. And you'll see this right here. Now, verse 3. Shepherd, you eat the fat, and you clothe yourself with the wool, and you slaughter the fat sheep. The fat sheep is the best ones. They get slaughtered without feeding the flock. Now let's see if this shepherd right here has got a problem, because he's not doing the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it in 4. Those who are sickly, you've not strengthened them. The disease, you've not healed. The broken or demonized, you've not bound up. The scattered, you've not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity, you've dominated them. They've been your glory, not the Lord's glory. And they have been scattered. How they've come scattered? They become worldly. And when the ministry of the, I'll tell you what, when a shepherd stands in a door and the ministry of spirit can't get to a flock, I'm going to tell you what, that the flock is always scattered. Here they are, verse 5. And they were scattered for lack of a what? They're scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they have become food now for what? Brother, when they get scattered and get worldly, the demons have them, and they were scattered. When the Spirit of God and the ministry of God cannot get to a flock to get them set free, to get them healed, and to receive all the word, not part of it, not pick and choose through it, then they become worldly. Now in 7, therefore you shepherds, you hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a what? My flock has become a prey. My flock has even become food for all the demons for lack of a shepherd, the beast of the field. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherd just fed himself. They didn't feed my flock. They didn't give them the gospel. Now, verse 9, therefore, you shepherds, you hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds. I shall demand my sheep from them. I'm going to make them cease from feeding sheep. though the shepherd's not going to feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. And he's doing it. Verse 11, today, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself, I'm searching for my sheep and seeking them out. Glory be to God forevermore. Verse 12, as a shepherd cares for his herd in a day when he's among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep, and I'm going to deliver from all these places by which they got scattered on a cloudy and a gloomy day. I'm telling you where they got scattered. They got scattered where it was in a dark places where there's darkness in the churches where they get scattered. It's cloudy and gloomy, and I'm gonna bring them back, saith the Lord. They got scattered in that darkness, that dark, dark, cloudy, gloomy church, and I'm going to bring them back. Now, verse 16, he goes on to say, I'm going to seek the lost. I'm going to bring back the scattered. I'm going to bind up these demonized and strengthen the sick, but with the fat and the strong, I'm going to feed them with what? Judgment. You never seen it like it's being fixed to be turned loose. Verse 17, and as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm going to judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Is it too slight a thing for you, Mr. Shepherd, that you feed in the good pasture of this word right here, that you just tread down and trample with your feet the rest of the word, the pastures? Or that you should drink of the clear waters, that's the good word, that you just foul the rest of it and skip over it and pick over it and pick choose it. You foul the rest with your feet. Verse 19 is, for my flock, they must eat what you tread down, that you pick and choose and water it down with your feet. They must drink what you foul with your feet. We got a congregation, our glory. We got our kind of people. We got partiality. And nothing but our kind of people. Somebody can help our career, help our name, help us. And all these weak, all of it's not our kind of people. They've got a church over across the tracks for them. 21, here it is. This is its control and force and flesh. You push with the side and with the shoulder, and you thrust out all the what? All the weak, the sick, the wounded, the afflicted, not our kind of people, with your horns. That's your power in the flesh until you've scattered them abroad. Well, I'm going to tell you what the fallen booth of David, is it going to rise up? Is it? You better believe it. We're talking about it at lunchtime. Read all Amos. I can't get an Amos about the last days. See it over in Acts. Talking about David right here. You get a shepherd like old David right here and watch what happens. Verse 23 is setting over them one shepherd. Look in 25. Here's what happens when you get a shepherd. And I'm going to make you get the right shepherd, and I'm going to make a covenant of peace with them. They're going to have peace. I'm going to eliminate these demons from the land, these harmful beasts from the land. And they're going to live securely in the wilderness, and they're going to sleep in the woods. That's what God is doing. He's rounding them all up right now. You're going to have to bar the doors of the Holy Service. Don't you worry about the numbers. You can't get in. They ain't going to get there unless you meet in the field. But you'll be tested first. You'll not have one of these flocks. Verse 26, and I'm going to make them in the places around my hill. That's his presence, a blessing. I will cause showers, that's the Holy Spirit, to come down in their season. There'll be showers of blessing, glory. Also the trees of the field, I mean the people of this church are going to yield its fruit. Boy, it's going to be fruit for the Lord. And the earth is going to yield its increase. They're just going to prosper. They'll be secure on their land. Then they're going to know that I'm the Lord when I've broken the bars of their yoke. Glory be to God, He's doing it today. And I've delivered them from the hand of those who've enslaved them, the powers of darkness. And they'll no longer be a prey to the world, the nations, and the beast of the earth will not going to devour them, but they're going to live securely, and they're not going to be any fear in them, because they're going to be no one to make them afraid. Amen. Glory be to God. Verse 29, I'll establish for them a renowned planting place, and they'll not again be victims of famine of the word. They'll not be victims of famine of the word in the land. They'll not endure the insults of the nations anymore. And just like old James said, just so you'll know, it's not the sheep raising business, so you know who you're talking about. 31, as for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, and I'm your God, declares the Lord. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Matthew 9. We don't need a break. I'm going to make you tough. You can take one when I take one. Can't stop. Matthew 9. And Jesus was going about verse 35. I told you I couldn't stop. 35, and Jesus was going about all the cities and villages. He was teaching in their synagogues. He was proclaiming, he had the gospel of the kingdom. He was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And I'm going to tell you, folks, as you look across it, and as I see it, I'm telling you just like I told you, and I walked up in the church with this pastor up there in Tulsa, and I walk and I see this thing, I'm telling you what, it just absolutely breaks my heart. Because you can't go up in 25 words or less and change all of this. You understand what I mean? And this is what the Lord sees them. I'm telling you, when you see the demonized, when you see the sick, and God Almighty and His grace has given you understanding about it, and you know from His word what you can go over and do about it, and I'm telling you, they're just one of you. And you see them, and it just absolutely breaks your heart. And there's not enough of you to go around. And this is the way it was with Jesus. And so that's the reason why we're in a disciple business right now, brother. We're going to be fruitful and multiply. Amen? Amen? All right, now this is what the Lord Jesus saw. This is what I see right now of the demon eyes and the sick people. I mean, the powers of darkness is the one that's doing it, and they're the one that's got it. And I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter what anybody says, what anybody thinks. I mean, Jesus has come to set you free. And I want you to know in verse 36, He says, and seeing the multitudes, verse 36, He felt compassion for them because they were what? What did I tell you about that word distress? They were distressed and they were downcast. Mark that word downcast, like sheep, and because they didn't have a shepherd. That's how coming to be in that way. Now that's what the Lord said. I want another Bible. Now, let me show you what the Lord said. So, you get a sheep. Somebody had a sheep right here, and they just brought this sheep in here, this full growth of wool. You could take this sheep right up here, and I'll show you what a downcast sheep is. You could put him right on his back right here, and that sheep right there would die there. A sheep with a full growth of wool cannot get back on its feet again. That's exactly the way Jesus saw these people without a shepherd. It's the way this sheep, that is a downcast sheep. He can't get on his back. That is exactly the way I see it. Unless there's someone to lead and show them the way, and will to be not be afraid of what men and the traditions and organizations and denominations and folks and wide folk. I want to receive what God says. Let God be God and a truth, and let everything else be a liar, and let well, just trust God right there. They cannot be led, and they can't know. You take a sheep, in these slaughterhouses, I've heard stories of some of the ones that kill a sheep for, I mean, they just absolutely, I've heard the story, I don't know whether it's true or not. I just was told it, that where they, you know, they cut their throat one after another. And they're so innocent. See, a lamb is, you know, they're innocent, just beautiful eyes, just innocent. And just take these sheep, and as they come through, just cut their throat. You can take a little lamb, you can go up and you take your knife, and you can just cut this lamb's throat, and it won't make a sound. And that blood will just roll out on that little white coat right there, and just run right off of him, and he won't make a sound, and he'll just have that little innocent look until he just drops dead. You do that to a hog and you can hear him in Houston. Right now. So there is a sheep without a shepherd. Now I want you to turn with me in Matthew 12. Is Matthew 12 in the New Testament? Okay. Matthew 12. You know, I'm headed down there at about, the religious crowd got around Jesus there, see? Here he had the religious crowd around him. He'd been casting out demons. And he's saying, this is of the devil. He does this with Beelzebub, the prince of demons. It's of the devil. So, he had a little talk with these church folks about demons, about the powers of darkness. And here's what he said in verse 28. He said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, what did he say he cast out demons by? Oh, he cast the Spirit of God. How are you going to cast out demons with? How many different spirits are there? Is there one spirit? The Holy Spirit of God. That's the only one you're going to cast it out with. Amen? All right, he said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, I want you to know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? You can't talk about it. You've got to do it, church folks. And then he'll plunder his house. And I want you to remember something, church folks. This is just about the final thing I'd like you to know right there. I'm in this demon. I'm after these darkness. I came to set the captives free. Verse 30. He who is not with me is what? What did he say with Hosea about the ones that was against him? You're against me, against your help, O Israel. So I'll send the beast against you, and they're going to tear you to pieces. Is that what we read? Okay. He who's not with me is against me, and he who's not gather these from the powers of darkness, what's he doing? I believe that's what we just read over in Ezekiel 34. Didn't we? They're scattering. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. You're making them worldly. They're going right back into the world. Because that's what the powers of darkness. If you don't deal with the powers of darkness, no shepherds can properly shepherd any flock. Every time he moves forward one step, he's going back two. Isaiah 56. Chapter 56, verse 9. All you beasts of the field, come on, demons. All you beasts in the forest, come to eat. His watchmen, the watchmen, the preachers are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are dumb dogs, unbelieving the word, unable to bark, unable to preach. Dreamers lying down who love to slumber, asleep, and the dogs are greedy, worldly. They are not satisfied, and they are shepherds who have no understanding, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They've all turned to whose way? Only I, me, my, we, us, our church, each one to its unjust gain, to the last one, worldly.